Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of Afternoons is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K to donate your car today.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
All right, we just went to the turn. Everybody used the restroom, washed their hands. We picked up a couple of glizzies, refilled the cooler with ice and beers. Time for the back nine here on WEEI Afternoons. Dan Ball, a.k.a. The Ball Game. Ted Johnson, three-time Super Bowl champion, and of course your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens here at the helm of the USS Afternoon Enterprise. Andy Hart has the day off, that son of a bitch.
You're not taking days off now.
He is a son of a bitch.
I love how Ted's really getting comfortable with the show and just giving it back as much as people sling it.
It is. Ted came in today super comfy.
Yeah.
Ted's in his zone today.
Too comfy, maybe. Too comfy.
And I were having that conversation behind the glass when we entertain ourselves when you guys are doing your thing. And we were talking about how, like, all right, we're seeing the real Ted Johnson start to come out, and it's a freaking blast.
Oh, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
The weather is nice this weekend, Ted. Guys, we're on a 7-game win streak with the Red Sox. Football starts in earnest in less than 2 weeks with day one of training camp on July 23rd. We're leading the charge to make sprinkles free in the Commonwealth. There are good reasons why we should all be vibing today.
You are. Somebody you're leading is. The charge.
I'll bring
world peace one sprinkle at a time.
It'll be like that final scene in Glory. I'll be running up the hill with the flag in hand, and I will happily die on that hill. Speaking of which, we actually might get into our sports hills that we'll happily die on later in today's show. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk. Football is nigh, friends, because it is the 4 o'clock hour. But first, we have some calls lined up at 617-779-7937. Owen has been kind enough to hang on for a bit, so why don't we take him first? Owen in Cambridge, how are you?
Hey, guys. I love your show.
Thank you. We love you.
Hey, thank you. I think you guys have been generally too soft on the Celtics. I think you guys have been, like, really soft on Stevens and Danny Ainge in general. I mean, I really think the expectation was a dynasty. You know, I think when he got the next picks, you know, those six first-round picks, I think, you know, that was a real tragedy in Boston sports. You know, I mean, to pick Kelly Olynyk over the Greek Freak, I know you can say everybody did that. Guys, but Danny Ainge's son, Austin, was the head of international trade, scouting at that point.
All right, thank you very much, Owen. I appreciate the call. Hold on. First of all, the national tragedy that was taking Kelly Olynyk the clinic over Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek Freak, that we could legislate that all we want on a basketball podcast called Terrible Decisions That Were Made a Decade Ago.
And Owen,
I don't think that's for today, my friend. And by the way, I do think, Ted, that the Celtics went to several, if not more than I can even count on one hand, Eastern Conference Finals.
Can I count them for you?
Please do. And also won a championship, so to call what they did with those six first-round picks tragic would be, I feel like that would be a misappropriation of the word tragic.
Okay. You guys missed the best line, though, Stevens and Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge has moved on to Utah, Owen. He's no longer...
He's been gone a while now.
Yeah, he hasn't been here for a while. So just giving you...
Owen's been sitting on that one for a while. Yeah. I appreciate the fact that today's the day, though, Ted. He got up the courage to call in finally.
Uh-huh. Since 2016, guys.
Yep.
Final or Eastern Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Semis, Eastern Conference Finals, first round, lost the finals, Eastern Conference Finals, won the finals, lost in the Eastern Conference Semis.
Yeah. What a bunch of stiffs. What happened to the dynasty I was sold?
What more could we possibly bring? Yeah, sure. All right. Of a championship in addition to that.
Again,
I mean, there's
first world
problems. So dynasty drunk in this town because of what happened with you guys, Ted.
Yeah.
winning three, having the nerve to take a decade off, and then winning three more.
Yeah.
It queered the standard and changed the game entirely in
probably
the city.
Probably so. But you know what? I like a town that kind of is now holds the bar really high. I mean, mm-hmm. that means there's full engagement. That helps everybody
mm-hmm.
if fans think that way. So I think it's okay. I think, you know what, why not? Now we know what is achievable. Why not always try to make that as your goal?
All right. Well, speaking of which, the New England Patriots looking to return to form this season. As mentioned, they do start training camp in 12 days. We are just over, holy smokes, we are less than 2 months away. I think we're 55 days away from kickoff, Sunday, September 7th, 1 p.m. At the Razor, the Las Vegas Raiders, partly owned by Tom Brady, whose statue will be revealed August 8th. 2025.
Who we feel bad for on the show.
Who
apparently.
We feel terribly for because he has lost his way and is commiserating, drowning his sorrows in the arms of Sofia Vergara, Kate Hudson, Dakota Johnson, Sydney
Sweeney.
I
wish Sweeney.
I was
miserable. I want to be that miserable.
Every morning I wake up and I just say, damn it, I wish I was Tom Brady miserable today.
Yep.
Reals.
Yeah.
So anyway, football's around the corner. Quick question though, around the room. Of your four teams right now, as we take stock, all-star break-ish times always seem to be a good moment to like survey the landscape and say, which of the four teams do you think right now, just on the spot, guys, might be the closest to a title?
The Red Sox.
Wow.
I think I'm Ron Burgundy.
A fully confident vote right there.
It's kind of ironic that none are really in a fantastic spot. I think the Patriots are in a great spot to be significantly better. I think the Red Sox have more top-end talent and had more expectations to be a competitor in that kind of field versus the Bruins and Celtics, who are very much going through a gap year. So I'd go Red Sox with the ringing endorsement that I just gave.
Big Ted?
What was the question again?
Which of the four teams, just a spot question on the fly, which of the four teams would be potentially in your mind closest to a title?
I was like, okay, I didn't know exactly what you were asking. It's
tough, isn't it?
It's tough. I mean, I would say it's a grind.
I
mean,
yeah.
Maybe because of the you know, things can bounce your way. You know, I feel like nature of baseball, you know, like you can just get pitchers that are hot. You almost want to say the Red Sox. You know, and that's what you just said, Dan, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean.
And again, it's not like a great gut feel. It's absolutely the blank.
And then I'd say probably the Celtics.
Yeah.
And I'm talking like for at least two years from now.
Yeah.
I just think the Patriots aren't close to that and the Bruins aren't. So to me, it would be Red Sox, Celtics, and then Patriots and then Bruins.
I think of the four teams, the one that could catch lightning in a bottle, step in it and find themselves – a la, let's say, the Diamondbacks a couple of years ago. Wow, how the hell did we end up in the World Series?
Right.
Or the Rangers. How did we end up in and win the World Series would be the Red Sox as well. I'm with you guys 100%. It is 2 years for the Celtics. God knows how long for the Bruins. And I'm not really sure, Ted, how long for the Patriots as well. While the rebuild takes place this year with a team, a roster of 90 heading into camp, 43 of which are brand new as well. And as we've been breaking down position groups, who's the strongest, who's the weakest, who's the best, what are our Drake May expectations, McDaniel's expectations, and so much more. There was an interesting piece that we came across today at NFL.com where they positioned who would be the easiest player for everybody who loves football to root for on every team. And I thought this was especially interesting considering yesterday's Football O'Clock dialogue, Ted, that NFL.com believes the easiest player for people outside of Patriots Nation to root for on the Pats this year will be the defensive lineman that you and I agreed to disagree on a little bit yesterday, Christian Barmore. Barmore, of course, coming back from the blood clot issue that kept him out for the majority of his 2024 season after he signed a four-year, $92 million deal coming off that very hot end of 2023 where over an eight-game stretch, he had 13 tackles for loss, multiple pressures, and 8.5 sacks. Do you think that Barmore represents, I won't say likable figure, but like an interesting, compelling, if not sympathetic figure to other football fans? Like, hey, this guy was in a borderline mortal struggle, and now look, he's back playing football at a high level.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. It's possible. Yes, I don't know. I don't know enough about the kid, partly because does he talk a lot? Does he have platforms here? Does he do a lot of community work? I don't know, you know, so there's, you know, I don't have that connection to Barmore like I might have maybe with other players, but your point is well taken.
Yeah.
And especially what I think is very, what people don't realize is blood clots, just because they get stopped one time doesn't mean they don't come back.
Right. Yeah.
There's a very, you know, high risk of them coming back. So in that regard, easy guy to root for.
Easy to root for his story specifically.
That's it.
You read it on paper. You look at kind of the ups and downs of the career of the guy and understand the kind of personal struggles. And absolutely, you're going to want to follow along and see what goes on.
And you know, another thing, I tell you what I was impressed with. I don't know if you guys remember this, but remember he got pulled over early one night in Providence.
Yes.
Or I believe it was a traffic violation, speeding, yes, or something. And he... it was on video. He was talking back to the officers. He kind of was, you know, he called his mom. It was the whole thing. His statement that came a few days later apologizing to the Providence police, I thought was one of the best statements I've ever seen a player write. Yeah, I thought it was just worded perfectly. It sounded sincere. It sounded authentic. And that's,
did it sound like it came from him or that there was his voice in there?
If I had to guess, his mama's voice.
Oh, because don't forget, you heard her voice
right
in the background that night saying, he's on blood thinners.
But that's okay.
You gotta take it easy.
You know, my guess is Mama has a big influence on him, and that was maybe she was part of that, which whatever. But so, look, I just guys mess up all the time. How you handle after is what matters to me, and I just thought he handled that really well. But so let's go around and say who you're most looking forward to, or what was the
who
are you rooting for?
Well, Fitzy. I'm gonna kind of stay on brand because I'm always a sucker for something that fits in the Patriots offense, something I think they have desperately lacked and needed for the longest time. And I love a good undrafted free agent story. The living legend of Efton Chisholm III, future Patriots Hall of Famer. I'm rooting for this kid to make the team. I'm rooting for him to make an impact, and I'm rooting for him to become a thing around here because, A, the Patriots are always better with a pass-catching running back. Insert your Danny Woodhead, Shane Vereen, Kevin Faulk story here about how important James White was in Super Bowls or how Shane Vereen could have been MVP of Super Bowl 49 here. But also, when you have the shifty little can get open in a phone booth or Italian sports car receiver that advance moves the chains and gets things going for the offense. And while that could be Pop Douglas, I'm not entirely sure what his role on the team is going to be this year. Is he just going to be the third down back? Or are they going to leave it up to a little kid drafted from absolutely Eastern Washington University, home of Kendrick Bourne, Cooper Kupp. Our friend Mega Donnellini did a great breakdown on him on WEI.com, spoke to the coaches. There to me is a story I can embrace. Everyone says you're too small, you don't belong, and this kid finds a way to make a team and get open everywhere he goes. One more hurdle to clear, Ted, and that would be making the Patriots 53.
That's a big one.
See,
that's a big hurdle.
That's a big Twinkie.
In lies, Ted, some of the beauty of watching, covering, and rooting for the Patriots. To 31 other fan bases in football, that kid's just a dime a dozen, you know, fringe roster player. Oh, undrafted free agent. Why should I care about that? For Patriots fans who have seen that type and makeup of player have infinite amounts of impacts on championship caliber teams, Patriots fans look at Efton Chisholm and go, that's our guy. Yeah. That's our Edelman. That's our Welker. That's our Amendola. That's our kind of guy.
And you know, I think what it's people that recognize that it's hard to play in this league. And if you start, the gun goes off, and most guys are all kind of have the starting gate, leave at the same time. Well, the undrafted guy is way behind the starters. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of room to catch up just to be considered, just to get the attention. And then once you get the attention, Dad, you got to surpass expectations to even have a chance. So that is going to be an interesting story to follow. What about you, Daniel? Who are you most rooting for?
There's a lot of interesting candidates because a lot of guys on this team seem to have unique backgrounds or, you know, maybe role players that are trying to carve out more of a niche. But this guy got talked about ad nauseum from essentially right when Jerod Mayo was fired to when the draft happened. And a lot of it was negative, and a lot of it was about a size of a certain body part pause that he cannot control. So mine is Will Campbell. The way that he quickly ingratiated himself with fans, the way that he says he'll die for his quarterback, how emotional he got when he was drafted.
I appreciate you very much for saying that.
And I really don't want to see him fail because he's done everything right to this point. I know that, you know, it's been nothing more than the glorified underwear Olympics, but I think for what we've seen and what he's said compared to what the conversation was during the draft process, people trying to find ways to pick him apart, I'm really pulling for the kid.
I like him frank fried potatoes.
Yes. Like, how can you not hear that and love
in the Patriots commissary just the other day?
So Andy and I, coming, we were flying back from the draft. We were on the flight to Chicago, and a group of probably like six kids behind us were flying on the same flight. They were all
great
there.
Great story.
Hey, let me finish.
Sorry, Ted. We had to get you at least once.
Come on, man. All right, good job, Chris. You keep pumping out those.
He's feeling himself because he had a good diss track earlier.
Good for him. They were there because of Will.
Yeah.
And they were all friends. They were some of his best friends that, you know, from LSU. And yeah. They said, you're getting the best guy. Man. They all love him.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just – look, we interviewed him that day too. There's a very high likability with that guy.
He's the kid I'm most excited about for sure. I just love it. Oh, my God. So I love his personality. Yeah. Since the night he got drafted, Dan and I were here. We stayed late, and we drafted him. And, yeah, I just
– sober,
he
too.
Just seems like he's going to be a bunch of fun, and I can't wait to watch him play.
And you know Mike Vrabel loves him, and you know his teammates already love him, and you know Drake May is going to depend on him. And as we discussed in yesterday's Football O'Clock segment as well, don't forget, we were talking about what we thought was the biggest weakness still on this team that needs to be addressed, and I was going in on the Patriots offensive line.
Yeah.
And I caught some flack for it, and I'm fine with it because I'm telling you, so goes this line this year, Ted, as you could point out in seasons past for every team. This is such fundamental football. So goes this offensive line and this Patriots team. I think so goes the offense and so goes the season.
And that's what elevates you from the, you know, 7-8 range that you see a lot of more pessimistic fans at to the 9-10. We're talking about a team that has a chance to potentially make the playoffs. It really does. I'm glad you brought that up because the offense running and the offensive line giving Drake May and the running backs a chance to at least take a quick breath before you make a play.
It's going to be a lot better.
100%. And I know this isn't an overly nuanced way to wrap my point, but there's just something about a meat and potatoes kid that lives to protect his quarterback that fires me up. I really look forward to it. So who's yours?
Okay, so I went with Efton Chisholm. So now I got Chisholm. You got Will Campbell.
Wrong direction.
Stiz also said that. Teddy, who's your guy?
It's more than more obvious ones, but I don't think people even consider Drake May. Drake May. That's all I want to see do well. I don't know. I've been backing this kid. My favorite quarterbacks coming out of the draft were Jaden Daniels 1, Michael Penix 2, Drake May 3.
Mm.
And those were who I was
co-signed.
And so I was a little bit unsure about Drake until I saw him, and I saw him do things that people just had no appreciation for. I'm gonna give you an example of one play. That it was, you wouldn't even really even notice it if you weren't really paying close attention to it. And he was flushed out to the right, to the left side, excuse me, of the pocket. And he's trying to find, you know, someone open before he runs out of bounds. And he can't. And as the defender is closing in, he takes the ball, that she's a right-handed quarterback, he shifts it to his left hand as he's going out of bounds. Why is that important? He knew, here comes this defender from the right side, as he comes in, that he might fumble the football. So he moves the ball from his left hand to his right hand to protect it, to get it closer to out of bounds. I thought, that's a genius play. He has so many throws across his body that he makes on the run that are beautiful. I just think he's faster and more explosive than you think. And so I like a lot of what he brings to the table. So I'm kind of backing this guy. And so for me, it's seeing Drake May be the quarterback I think he's capable of being.
He puts it in his left hand.
There it is, right there. It was awesome.
So do you think, let me ask you this, do you think that perhaps Drake May would not be the answer from a lot of people in Pats Nation right now because there's, I won't say dangerous, but there's this presumption that, hey, he's got more weapons now. Hey, it's his second year. They cleared the deck for him, and he's got Josh McDaniels. He's obviously going to improve this season.
I don't think so. I've yet to find a fan that's just 100% confident that he's the one. There's skepticism everywhere when it comes to him, and it's the record. It's 1-9. It's you know, I can make excuses for him. I can say, you know, the defense let the team down last year, besides the offensive line, besides the wide receivers, besides the coaching. And those are all factors that go into him only being, you know, a 1-9 quarterback. But I think there's genius in his game, and I think there's an ability to be just a special player. So I don't put the losses as much on him as I think fans do. And so I think fans just are kind of in a wait-and-see mode.
Fans, do you happen to have a Patriots player that you in particular are pulling for the most? I want to see Efton Chisholm make the roster and make an impact. Dan and Stiz want to see Will Campbell succeed because of the draft stock and especially because of what kind of guy he is and how bad the Pats need him. And Ted is wrapping his big arms around Drake May and saying, now's your time to shine, kid. Lots of other candidates as well. You can call in and talk some Pats with us at 617-779-7937. By the way, guys, I thought you would enjoy this. From that NFL.com article, they believe that the New York Jets player that will be the most lovable across the NFL, Harrison Meavis, the rookie kicker. Why? Because he's the fattest kicker in the NFL, and he goes by the nickname the Thicker Kicker. There's an easy Jet to, if they're even a Patriots fan, could root for. When we come back, folks, the 4 o'clock football hour on WEI Afternoons continues. You wonder what kind of advice Drake May might be getting from people that have played the game and succeeded at the highest level. Maybe one day Tom Brady will get in his ear. Well, Tom Brady recently got in the ear of Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes revealed some of the incredible advice he got on life and playing football from the GOAT. We'll get into that as well as some other football topics here in the 4 o'clock football hour on WEI Afternoons. But first, we got to make sure you're caught up on everything trending in sports. So here is the one and only Dan Ball.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Prudential Center, located in the heart of Back Bay. Features over 70 shops and eateries. Discovery at the center of it all. The Red Sox have won 7 games in a row. They beat the Tampa Bay Rays 4-3 at Fenway last night. Game 2 of that series is tonight. First pitch is at 7:10. Hunter Dobbins returns to the big leagues to start this evening. He'll face Drew Rasmussen on the mound. Some moves from earlier today. One Red Sox fans have certainly been waiting for. The team reinstated infielder Alex Bregman from the 10-day injured list. They also reinstated Dobbins from the 15-day injured list. The corresponding moves, the Red Sox optioned infielder David Hamilton and right-handed pitcher Isaiah Campbell to AAA Worcester following last night's game. Here is your lineup for tonight. Jaron Duran leads off in left, and it is Alex Bregman at third base. Masataki Yoshida is your DH with Carlos Narvaez as your catcher. Willier Abreu in right. Trevor Story at short. Marcelo Meyer is at second. Abraham Toro at first. And then Seidon Rafaela is out in center field, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaws and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaws, perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with myself is tonight at 6:10, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. The Celtics Summer League slate begins this afternoon. Tip-off was at 4 o'clock, and the game is currently being televised on NBA TV. The New England Revolution visit Austin FC on Saturday night. Kickoff is at 8:30, and the field has been set for the 2025 Home Run Derby in Atlanta. The 8 contestants are Ronald Acuna from the Braves, Byron Buxton from the Twins, Junior Caminero from the Rays, Jazz Chisholm from the Yankees, O'Neill Cruz from the Pirates, Cal Raleigh from the Mariners, Brent Rooker from the Athletics, and James Wood from the Washington Nationals. Headed to Fenway for the game, park in Prudential Center's garage for just $25 for night and weekend games. Located in the heart of Back Bay, shop, dine, and discover all Prudential Center has to offer, including the View Boston Observation Deck. Just a short walk over to Fenway from the Prue. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Afternoons Live at Fenway Park coming up right after this.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Having Tom, a guy like that, say that, I mean, it just motivates me even more. And I've actually talked to Tom a good amount this offseason, and it's cool that he wants to give me advice. You know, he didn't have to be like that. He's such a good dude, and I have so much respect for him, and I'll take any advice he gives me.
What does he say to you? What's the best advice?
I gotta keep the secrets here. But he always talks about being yourself. He thinks that, which I truly believe too, is that guys can spot when you're not authentic and you're not putting in the work.
Kermit the Frog here.
I'm here.
and we are here at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by our friends at New England Ford. The New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event is happening now. Hurry in to get great deals, including on the F-Series. Ford, the official truck of your Boston Red Sox. WEEI Afternoons rolling on right now. Of course, Big Ted Johnson, Danny Ballgame, and your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens here with you until 6 o'clock, at which time Ted and I will leave and go about our weekend. Dan Ball is going to get you the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show. 7:10, first pitch tonight, Rays versus Sox, game two of a big four-game series before the All-Star break. So that audio popped up the other day on FanDuel TV's Up and Adams show, hosted by our pal Kay Adams. And I thought it was interesting. You know, you don't often hear of players who competed at such a high level together, Ted, let alone were mentioned in a similar conversation, a dialogue. Remember, you know, how we were all getting suffocated out back in January and early February, you know, with the incessant, if Patrick Mahomes wins this Super Bowl, is he the new GOAT? And of course, Philadelphia had something to say about that. And that dialogue and debate has been kind of like the Kansas City offensive line put to bed for a long time. But that Tom Brady goes out of his way to give advice to and help Patrick Mahomes, you know, clear certain hurdles or, you know, deal with, you know, potholes along the way on the roadmap to his success is really impressive to me. It speaks volumes as to what Brady is all about, but also that Mahomes, I think it's interesting that Mahomes is receptive to all this because he is Patrick Mahomes and he's been pretty damn successful for a decade. Does he really need to take advice from anyone?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the best to ever play your position, you'd be stupid not to get to listen and hear him out. I mean, if you just, your ego's so big and your hubris is so prevalent that you're too good to I don't know, hear some tips from the best to ever do it. That would be surprising. So, you know, and this is, my guess is, this is the Tom Brady version that you probably didn't see during his playing careers. Like, you know, why would I give, I don't know if he was that gracious with his stuff when he played. And,
right.
But I think him and I put Belichick in the same kind of class right now, as far as the height of their superpowers are going to be, you know, the closer they are to just playing that game. Like, I mean, if the older they get, the more detached they get from their playing days, mm-hmm. or coaching days, mm-hmm. the less relevant they will be. And so I think they're maximizing their popularity post-retirement, you know, Bill, not, you know, retiring from the NFL, but to kind of just, you know, people want to know what did you guys do and how did you do it? Can you help us out? Because, you know, we want to kind of get the same magic that you guys had, and what can you teach us? So I think they're both in that mode right now.
I mean, to be fair to that, you know, there's a need and a curiosity everywhere in sports. How do we build the dynasty? How do we build the coach and star player dynamic that's going to win us championships and make us the greatest of all time? There's even a need for that in just, you know, corporate life, real life. How am I the best? How do I wake up and follow the Patriot way or follow the Alex Guerrero TB12 method that makes me the best? Everybody wants to get a little piece of the best of the greatest of all time message. And Fitzy, there's also a lot of money in that.
There's a ton of money. I always thought that was the route Brady was going to go. Like, just sort of going on the super successful. I mean, and we've seen him at both Fanatics Fest, obviously, last June at his Patriots Hall of Fame retirement, giving these speeches that resonate when he's preaching about how hard football is, how hard work is the only answer to anything in life.
Right.
You know, and that psychopathic devotion he has to greatness and where it comes from and what all of this stuff means to him. I love that. I never thought necessarily that he was going to go to the broadcast booth or that he would be an owner.
Is it a little flashier than you thought it would be after his career?
I always thought
flashier.
He's
a little more public eye. Like, the fact that he's a part owner of a marquee franchise.
That surprises you?
On Fox. See, was he all, but because I guess this is, later, Tom chased the fame. Was Tom Brady obsessed with fame in the early 2000s?
Yeah. Thought he was not in the early 2000s, not necessarily. I think 2007 changed everything. I think that's when he went into another stratosphere with the records and everything and the season that they had. But he's had TB12 for a long time.
Yeah.
And exactly. When did he meet Giselle? 2004? And she was the one that probably influenced him the most into building a brand and how it's important to be relevant. And to always make yourself newsworthy constantly kind of being in the news for something so that people are talking about you. You don't. I'm sure he got that from his ex-wife too, right? So I don't think that's who he was coming in. I think that's maybe who he aspired to be, and then things unfolded in a way where, you know, he was able to, really maximize his. When you're winning like he does, and you're associated with winning, right? When you think of Tom Brady, you go, "What's his best attribute?" Well, he just won,
right?
Like that's the greatest brand ever. But I think he was helped along the way.
And that's an interesting timeline too, because we talk about the Belichick and Brady partnership so much, and at a certain point, at least from the outside, it felt like Brady, the TB12 brand, just him as an individual and as a being, became bigger than the Patriot way, became bigger than Belichick and everything that he had kind of grown up under. And that's an interesting kind of window into how he was thinking and how maybe things kind of ended up getting a bit more tense than they were.
What did Tom do that you were like, wow, I can't believe he did this project? Can you think of a
80 for Brady?
that's a good call. Should never.
That movie was terrible. But I want my money.
But think about it. 2017. What did he post in the office?
Oh, yeah, Tom versus Time.
I thought that was. I couldn't believe he put that out.
It's crazy.
I was shocked. Like, wait a minute. This is so anti-Bill. What Bill wants?
Right.
But that's when you knew the divide was real. Like, that's when you knew there was something like
2017.
He's trying to get his message out because Giselle is tired of him being treated like Johnny effing Foxborough.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and Bill doesn't give him a hug and tell him what he needs. And Ted.
He didn't give him a game ball. Like, just that's so Bill. Bill didn't. And you go, why does Tom care about a game ball? Can I just, for the record?
Please.
You know what? Guys care about that stuff. You know why? Because you want to be acknowledged. It's more important to get acknowledged by your coach in front of your teammates than it is any Joe Bag of Donut fan out there.
Yeah.
And so it's
important. Especially a guy who's busting your balls at the level.
And that's why Gerard Mayo gave everyone a game ball after they beat the Bengals. And then that game.
Everyone's a winner.
That game got on roller skates on an icy mountain and went downhill real fast. But like, to me, the most galling thing, the reason why I'm stunned Tom Brady even came back for 18 and 19. So it's January 2018. And I've seen the photos of this too. There's practice. Rex Burkhead runs into him, almost tears his thumb off, and he gets that, you know, surgery done that day, gets his thumb basically reattached, has it almost hanging off by the time he goes up against the Jags.
Okay, it's not that bad.
It was bad. All right, it was a gap. It was not even just a gash. Anyway, long story short.
It's like, you should see what I dealt with.
I know. All right, he's got the bad injury.
From the heart.
Yep. And then the whole thing, it's not open heart surgery. Yes. He couldn't have said something nice to him that day.
Yeah.
And, you know, and these are things that Mahomes is going to deal with now.
That was 2018?
It was the 2017 season, January 2018.
All right.
And then they benched Malcolm Butler, put in Jordan Badmosi and Jordan Richards, crapped the bed on national TV and lose the Super Bowl they shouldn't have lost because he threw for 505 yards. So, man. Brady's still unbelievable. Like, damn near pitched a perfect game.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Gronk was unstoppable in the second half of the game. So now, like, as it relates to Mahomes. So Mahomes could be at an interesting little inflection point himself now in his career, Ted, because he worked real hard. He became the next big thing. It was Mahomes or was it Brady? And then he has a Super Bowl in which, if he wins, the majority of hot take media is going to crown him. It's a coronation. He's going to be the new GOAT. He gets his junk handed to him on national television by the Philadelphia Eagles. That game was an ass whooping from minute one. How do you think Mahomes and Reed and the Chiefs, since they are the team to beat, supposedly still in the NFL, how do they bounce back from something like that? And do you think this is the kind of season where Mahomes doubles down and shows everyone, no, Brady told me how to do this. I am the new GOAT.
I don't know about that. But it'll be interesting from a psychological standpoint to kind of, you had a chance to etch yourself in history. You win 4 out of 5. Right, you go back to back to back, and that's something Brady never did, and you were that close, and it didn't happen. I think it's gonna be a hard season for the Chiefs. I feel like there's going to be, of course, they landed a great offensive weapon in the draft, didn't they? Like, didn't they?
They got Isaiah Worthy last year, and this year Josh Simmons fell to them.
Okay, they just seem to make really good deals at draft night, but. I don't know why. I just think emotionally, I think it's hard to be. I mean, the two stars, you know, especially Kelsey, he burns it on both ends. You wonder, you know, Andy Reid, he's getting up there. the beauty of what made the dynasty here with the Patriots, it was the staying power that Brady had. Like, wait, he's coming back for a 12th year, for a 15th year, for an 18th, what? And he just has the same drive, same kind of way. That is hard to do year after year after year, especially when you've had success that they've already had. So, we're going to find out what Mahomes is made of, right, mentally. Because the beauty of Tom was the fact that he just kept coming back and kept coming back and never, ever did the job go, you know, did he ever look at it like, I'm going to take this year off. Every year he was trying to be as good as he was, if not better, the year before.
Yeah, I mean, that's
hard to do.
That's why Scott Pioli called him Freddy Krueger in the documentary.
And I'll be honest real quick. Part of what led me to retire, mostly head stuff, but there's a point in which you get, it's the same speeches. It's the same rookies doing the same stupid stuff that the whole team has to pay, you know, be accountable for. It's the same kind of just world, you know, where it's like, you know, we don't tell, you know, you don't talk about anything other than just what you say in that little bubble. It gets kind of laborious and tiring, and you kind of get over it. But Tom never did. And will Patrick Mahomes, how will he react, you know, going into year 12, 13, 14? I just think after what he's done to this point and getting so close last year to really be, you know, just almost, you could almost make an argument he's better than Brady if they would have won. And to not get it, I think that's going to knock him back a peg.
Yeah, Brady, you know, Brady had a breaking point potentially in his career. You lose the biggest game of your career where you could have become the ultimate dynasty and greatest team of all time. The next season, you know, halfway through the first quarter, Bernard Pollard ends your season, almost ends the dream. And then they go that full decade without a Super Bowl, another win.
You know, it's going to be interesting because you wonder, part of what got Tom his juice was being late, picked in the late rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then Belichick always kind of needling him. Let's bring in Garoppolo. Let's, you know, light a fire on him. You know, would Andy Reid do that with Patrick Mahomes? Bring in a second-round quarterback?
Yeah, he's got kids. Now he's got the steakhouse with Kelsey. He's got tens of hundreds of millions of dollars. That's why I'm saying, like, here could be this, like, complacency point. Or does he double down Brady style? We'll see.
He's got a chance to do something funny this year, fellas. Backup quarterback for the Chiefs this year is Gardner Minshew. Third string currently on the roster, Bailey Zappi.
That's right.
Got a chance to do something very funny with Patrick.
Or QB1, as Kendrick Bourne calls him.
That's right.
You folks know the number. Send in a text or give us a call, 617-779-7937. As we come to you from our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio, tens of hundreds of fans lined up on Lansdowne Street are now starting to team into the stadium in anticipation of tonight's Rays-Red Sox game. When we come back, we'll wrap up all of other news, notes, and nuggets in the NFL here, heading towards the 5 o'clock hour on WEEI Afternoons.
WEEI. New England Sports Original.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
All right, so we were just talking Patrick Mahomes here on WEEI Afternoons, and there was some audio that came up earlier this week of, I believe, Ted, was this a Houston radio host or was this a
Kansas City?
It was a Kansas City radio. So this actually, the call came from inside the building.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow. Okay, yep. So there was a Kansas City radio host who accused Patrick Mahomes of being fat and out of shape, and that he was a disgrace to the franchise. Stiz, do you happen to have that audio on the ready by chance?
No, but I will effort to find it right now.
Okay, thank you very much. Does that? I mean, I've seen him with the dad bod. I've seen him in the match with Josh Allen against Brady and Rodgers.
So it was a picture in like a swimsuit, I believe, with his wife that went viral.
Yes, on July.
Okay, that went viral on the 4th of July.
Yes.
Most of us, I believe the yous and the me's of the world, maybe not Tedosaurus over here, but like the yous and the me's of the world would probably kill to be in that kind of shape.
Looked perfectly fine to me.
Fine as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I wouldn't even say that. Would you call that photo that went viral of Mahomes, Ted? Would you say that was dad bod?
I didn't notice that he was that fat. I don't know.
This isn't new, though. This is
he a little chunky?
At least the second year in a row. People have been
dogging him about that, like too many Bud Lights and ice creams.
Yeah, right.
But can you argue, like, here's the thing. Can you argue against the body of work?
No, you cannot.
As long as he goes out and performs, then why do I care?
When's the last guy that's won a Super Bowl quarterback that's had six-pack abs? Do you know of one?
Jalen Hurts is in pretty damn good shape.
Okay. All right, there's one.
But, you know, he didn't win the Super Bowl alone. There's this guy, Milton Williams. Man, this guy.
Tell me Nick Foles wasn't shredded.
I mean, you know.
I mean, Brady wasn't always. Like, wasn't his whole thing.
Tebow was the only one. Like, Tebow looked like a linebacker playing quarterback. But I am, and this is, I don't know if this is what this host, but this is what the host said about Mahomes being overweight. He says, you're $500 million quarterback. You've made all these comments in the offseason that we're going to do our talking on the field. We get our butts kicked in the Super Bowl. We're coming back with a vengeance. Dude, you're fat. Your belly would be fat at my pool hanging out with a 60-year-old. My skin is flabbier than yours. I get it. Stop the fast food. Do a sit-up. Do something. That's end quote from and it's like, dude, this guy's clearly still ticked off that they lost the Super Bowl.
Right. That was Kevin Keitzman.
And so, this guy Kevin thinks that him being a little bit, in his view, a little bit overweight at the 4th of July means he's not committed to winning, which I think is a ridiculous link to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I mean, we had a call earlier on in the show from a Celtics fan who said we're not being hard enough on the Boston Celtics for making it to the Eastern Conference Finals with ease, winning a title, making it to multiple finals, all that kind of stuff. This is Kansas City now being in that era of the spoiled champion fan base. These are the
nitpicks. They are the new us.
This is the nitpicks that you end up getting when the level of failure is losing in the finals and the level of success is winning in the finals, and that's just kind of where this comes from.
Spoiled.
And other thing that came from this too, it may sound a little disingenuous talking about weight when we just had all these Rafael Devers conversations. Mahomes is a winner. He's in the conversation for the greatest of all time. If Devers was performing anywhere near what Mahomes is doing in football, we wouldn't give a crap about his weight.
In his 20s, he's in the conversation for greatest of all time. By the way, I do love that Mahomes' trainer, guys, got his back as well. Yep.
That's what you want your trainer to do, man.
Yep, his trainer, Bobby Stroop, fired back with a now since deleted message on Twitter. So he responded emotionally and then decided to high road it. But of course, there are receipts. It's 2025. Send me your location, he writes back to Kevin Keisman. You obviously need attention. If you want to see what in shape is, go make it through a practice at training camp or run hurry up offense scrambling back-to-back-to-back plays. You don't have a clue what it takes. It's not a look, it's performance. That's a mic drop right there.
Yeah. That's I think that's and that's fair. I mean, have we heard anything about, like, I've never heard of like some story. Like, you hear stories of some guys working out and how they work out. You know, I mean, Walter Payton is known for his workouts. Roger Craig was known for his workouts. There's just certain guys that Aaron Donald known for his workouts. I mean, have you heard anything ever out of Kansas City that Mahomes doesn't put the work in or is lazy or isn't a good hard worker?
Quite the opposite. I feel like it's at worst we hear no news about it. He also doesn't put his workouts on Instagram though, so I don't know how we're supposed to know what he's doing in the off season. Maybe we can surmise that he's not working that hard because he hasn't gone viral doing it.
I always go back to the John Crook line though. You know what I mean? Like it's the whole thing. Like, don't worry about me. I'm not an athlete. I'm a ball player.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay. You know,
I hate you, John Crook, because I could I had, you know, there's guys that they're just so naturally gifted.
Yep.
You can say that line with a straight face.
Yep.
But there's very few.
Very few. Yeah, John Daly.
I mean, John did.
Ripping darts and crushing PBRs and winning money.
That's a life I want.
The walrus. I mean,
yeah.
Guys that are, and John Crook was like, he was big, dude.
But he was.
Boy, could he hit the ball. I mean, it didn't even matter.
There were some other little football nuggets as well, but we're going to be up against it momentarily. Aaron Rodgers is off to a great start with Steeler fans yelling at people for asking for autographs, accusing them of being autograph hounds. We'll get to that another day, but I did want to get to this.
Oh, we should play it in odds and ends because that's funny.
Oh, we do have it. Okay, terrific. Excellent. We'll grab that one later, but I do want to cap off Football O'Clock with what I think is the best L anyone has taken since Patrick Mahomes got handily defeated by the Philadelphia Eagles. Gentlemen, this was the final Jeopardy question earlier this week. What's that?
I was saying we were up against it. We should save it for odds and ends.
Oh, you want to save that too?
Yeah.
Listen, look what happens. This guy produces a hot diss track. He blows up social media. Now he's telling me the way we should do things.
Well, it's Friday. We have an expanded odds and ends.
Oh, you're right. How about that? Well, I guess you're in charge of the show now. Host is Greg. You're right, dude. We'll save it all for the 5 o'clock hour when we get to expanded odds and ends, where we'll also talk about a new movie that's come out that everyone's excited about, a new way to play baseball that does not involve the Savannah Bananas, and somebody that was drunker than Olive Fenway on television earlier this week. Look forward to that in the 5:30 hour. Plus, we're going to play Stiz Grimey's hot diss track defending our guy, Will Fleming. But when we come back, we got to get Ted's thoughts on the Red Sox. Big win last night. 7 in a row. Plus, the return of St. Bregman. What does that mean tonight? And over these 3 games against the Rays, are the Sox hot? Are the Sox for real? Let's get your thoughts here on WEEI Afternoons. Don't go anywhere.
Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson on WEEI.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.